Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can come to your word tonight. Lord, we just open our heart, Lord, to it, to the truth that is in it. Enable us, Lord, to hear it, to receive it, to be able to put it to work in us, and to see, Lord, the results it produces in us, Lord, to produce freedom, to produce life, to produce victory, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. All right. So last week, I was just giving a demonstration of how we can meditate by taking a scripture and then moving to other scriptures and, connecting them together and getting the Holy Spirit to reveal to us things as he directs us in the process, and we meditate on it. I want to just take some scripture today that actually describes this process. Okay, I'm there. Now, this process, if you want, is the way the Holy Spirit works in us as we meditate on the scriptures, as we receive revelations, as we get into the truth, and the truth is developed in us. And what I want to do is to, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 9. If you have a scripture, you can go there so you can follow me on it. It says, see, but it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Okay. This is taken from the Old Testament, okay, and describes the fact that, man's receive revelation from the Holy Spirit, okay, when they are open to him, when they love God, and when they are connected with the Holy Spirit. But it goes much more into a description of this process. Verse 10. But God has revealed, so he's talking about the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Okay, so we, entered into the heart of man, coming into us. How do they do that? God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Or is the Holy Spirit working us to bring us revelation? And says the Spirit searches all things, yes, the things, the deep things of God. Here he's talking about the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, all the things, do we know all the things which God has prepared for us? Well, we know some of them. And the more we get into the Word, the more we know the Scripture, the more we dwell in the Word and the Word dwell in us, and the more we know the truth. So, as we spend time in the Word, as we meditate on the Word, as we go through the process of opening ourselves and trying to apply the Word to our life, then we get revelation, through the Holy Spirit, who activates in us those thoughts and those ideas, okay? And, it says, therefore, the Spirit searches all things. Okay, the Spirit there is capitalized, which means, the word is pneuma, but really he's talking about the Holy Spirit. Okay, yes, the deep things of God. Okay, so what really this describes is a process by which we grow in better and better understanding of the things that God has prepared for us. Okay, this is not an instantaneous understanding of everything, but it's an ongoing revelation as we grow in the Lord and as we spend time dwelling in the Word. See, again, Romans 8, 31 and 32, if you dwell in the Word and the Word dwell in you, you are my disciples indeed. And disciple is somebody that learns from the teacher, okay? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, or shall set you free. So there, the freedom that we get, the freedom that we receive, comes from the revelation of the things which God has prepared for us. And we receive it because we love him, and we are open to him, and we are listening to what he tells us. Our heart, ear, you know, where the love for God and for other things is the critical element, is the part that need to be receiving the revelation, and the part that makes that revelation both available and understood. Okay, so entering into the heart, this is where they ask to enter in the heart of man. Okay, so, but the fact that we don't know everything, that we know some things, and hopefully as we keep seeking, and keep dwelling in the Word, as we keep meditating, as we keep connecting with the God and the Holy Spirit, we get better revelation. Okay. Now let's continue and go to verse 11. Verse 11 says, for what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now here in both cases, okay, when we talk of the spirit of man, is not capital, but this the spirit of God is. But it's always the same word in Greek. It's pneuma, you know. So really what it's talking about here is this, you know, the things that are even in our spirit, we really don't know them all. Although they are there, and they are there in our spirit, but we not necessarily are aware of them, okay? And so the same thing with, you know, but our spirit, okay, they are there. The same thing with the spirit of God, okay, knows the things of God, and they are in him, okay? And if we have this Holy Spirit then from him, then we are going to have some kind of communication, and we have to receive them, okay? So, and the fact is we have to receive them, okay? So it says, for we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. So the fact that we have the Holy Spirit inside us, and that is the Spirit of God, okay, is there for a purpose. And following says the purpose, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So, see, the Holy Spirit comes inside us and communicates to our spirit so that we can know these things, and we can recognize, can understand them. And, you know, as our heart opens up to it, we are also going to, they are going to be revealed. Okay. It's the process of revelation and understanding. This is important to understand. Okay. God's spirit comes in our spirit, communicated with our spirit, communicate these things that have been given freely to us. So that scripture that was talking in the Old Testament, okay, are really applying to us, okay, in terms of receiving the things that God has prepared for us. Okay. So going to verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words which meant wisdom speeches, but by which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. This verse probably is the most important of all the verses that we've been reading at the moment. Okay. So, see, the fact that they say, you know, this is talking about, Paul is talking about himself, you know, says that the things which is also speak, what he's teaching, what he's teaching and so on, you know, is not in words which men wisdom teaches. See, he's not teaching stuff according to men's ideas, according to men's wisdom, okay? But, you know, by the Holy Spirit teaches. So he got revelation from the Holy Spirit, okay? And those are the things that he teaches, see? And how did he get revelation? Comparing spiritual with spiritual, okay? Let me take that expand a bit on that. Unpack it a bit. Okay. First of all, okay, is not man's ideas or man's teaching that he's speaking about, but is the speaking that the things that the Holy Spirit had taught him. Okay. And he realized what the Holy Spirit is teaching. Okay, that means, you know, first of all, okay, the things that the Holy Spirit teaches is what is in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is not going to tell you things beyond the Word of God. Okay, so, and that is not man's idea, is God's ideas. Okay, there are many doctrines around today that are doctrine of man, and some are doctrine of demons here that are widely accepted by Christians, but they're not necessarily what the Holy Spirit teaches. And that's why they are in contradiction with one another so often. Okay. The Holy Spirit doesn't contradict himself. Okay. So, and, you know, what are there? They, you know, how did they get, how do we get that? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Okay. What are spiritual things? So, you know, not everything that looks spiritual or feels spiritual is spiritual. Okay. Only what is in the Word of God is spiritual. Okay. Because Jesus said it himself, my word, they are spirit and they are life. Okay. So the idea is that, you know, to make sure that what we learn, that what we hear, that what we understand is actually God's ideas, God's teaching, God's truth, we have to make sure that is in the Word. That's the first element, okay? But sometimes we can take a verse and push it out on the extreme or misapplied, and then we are really getting off and it's not anymore the Word. But the way we have to do it, okay, we have to, it says comparing spiritual things with spiritual, which actually the word comparing there is sukrinon, they actually mean joining together fitly or harmonizing or combining them or judging them together. That means, you know, spiritual is what the only spiritual thing is the Word of God. So we are comparing a scripture with a scripture, and the scripture need to harmonize with each other, and they need to support each other, and they must explain each other. So what we do is we make this comparison, but it actually is judging the scripture together. So that we see if they say the same thing, if they say they contribute to our understanding. And so our judgment is based not on our own ideas, on our own logic, or the logic of the wisdom of man, is based on spiritual truth that the Word gives to us. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand the difference? That's important because it's not just the mental analysis. This is a seeing the fitting or joining together or harmonizing the scripture one another, because they together show us the truth. And the togetherness is essential. They have to work on things together. Okay, otherwise, any scripture taken in isolation, it becomes too important, too great, or too, you know, by itself, can be distorted. Okay. So we need to hold the scripture together, may harmonize, may combine, may help to understand each other. And that understanding, okay, comes from the Holy Spirit, who put all these things together and show us the connection. See, revelation is nothing else. Suddenly we understand something that we didn't see before because there is a logical connection that was escaping the natural man mind. Well, you always call me when I'm teaching. All right. Everybody following me on this? Nobody? Can't see that. Anyway, let me continue. All right. So, may continue here. This verse is very important, as I said. It reveals the principles according to which our meditation needs to be happening. It's not that you just meditate on this one scripture. You meditate on the scripture and on all the other things the Holy Spirit brings to you, or other scripture that come to your mind. The Holy Spirit connect with that, and you make sure that they are connected together and they are supporting each other and are explaining one another. Okay. Then continue here, verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Okay. Now, here he's talking about the natural man is the man that think and reason according to their logic, to the things that of the world, to the things that make sense from the physical experience that they had. Okay. And says that he does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Now, the word receive, we often, you know, when we talk about receiving from God, okay, he used the word lambano. Okay, we talked about that all the time. Here is not lambano. Okay. The word here in Greek is dekomai, which actually can be better translated instead of receive. Learn, accept, welcome something given to you. So this receiving is a passive thing that actually, you know, it's a question of the Holy Spirit presents to you a truth, and you know, you are responding to the presentation, to the revelation that you get by receiving it, by learning it, by accepting it, by welcoming. This is a receiving which actually passive, is not active. Lambano instead is something that you take, you discover it, and then becomes yours, and you make your. But here is, you know, the rational man cannot, it's not just they don't grasp, they just don't accept, they don't welcome the revelation that they get. Okay. Now, we all have a remnant of the natural man within us. Okay, wrong ideas that we are not even aware that they're wrong. Okay, that we need to become conscious of and put off. Okay, so, you know, the only way that that's going to happen is when we get this revelation, that we receive it. Okay, and start, you know, and when we receive it, then we start operating the way the previous verse was describing. Okay, we are starting to make it come together with all the other scripture that we know and we understand to see if it fits properly, if it applies, you know, if we can apply, if together they work and give you great better understanding of everything. Okay. And says, you know, because, you know, they are foolishness to me. Why? Because these things are spiritually discerned. That's, okay, the very important word that we have to connect to. Okay. How do we spiritually discern? And really, the spiritually discern, okay, in Greek is pneumatikos anakrino, okay, which actually means, okay, pneumatikos from pneuma, from the spirit. So in a spiritual way, our anakrino means judge, examine. So we examine and judge the scripture or the revelation through other pneumatikos, through other spiritual things. That means we judge each scripture according to the other scripture that are, you know. So what is the spiritual, that means scripture, judge other spiritual scripture, and they have to work together. See, here is explaining in quite a detail the way this is working. You know, how, you know, by the word of God, we judge the word of God from one scripture to another. We put them together. They have to be harmonized. They have to work with each other. They have to support each other. They have to explain each other. And so when you are meditating, you are not just fixing yourself on some ideas that you want to, you know, think. It's just you are there opening yourself up to the Holy Spirit, who is doing a work inside you. You see, this is communion, in your communion with the Holy Spirit, of which, and of God, we have been talking about on Sundays. All of that communion, that interaction, those things produces things in your mind and in your awareness that bring other things there. And as they come together, they reinforce one another, or they show, wait a minute, I didn't think that way before. Oh, you know, don't feel too comfortable with this. Well, you have to see how the different scripture feels comfortable or fit with one another. This is how you judge the word of God. Okay. So let's continue, verse 15. It says, but he who is spiritual, that means, you know, that is ruled by the spirit, by the word, judges all things. See, by operating in this way, is spiritual. Is not operating in the mind of, you know, the world or the mind of man or the natural man. He is spiritual because he is operating according to thema, to the spirit of God, to the spirit that was put in him. You know, says, you know, the spirit judges all things. Say, all the things that come to him, you are going to be able to judge in this way. Okay. Says, yet he himself is readily judged by no one. Okay. Here again, the word judges, again, is against anakrimo. Anakrimo means is examined or tried judgely by God's word. So, you know, he, the spiritual, operates by the word of God and judges all his understanding, his behavior, his action, and everything else, his result, his attitude, and so on. Okay. The one that is not, okay, cannot even understand what you're doing because he's not operating at that level. He's operating about the thinking of man, about man's doctrine, man's ideas. Okay. And then goes on, verse 16. Says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Okay. So evidently God knows everything. So when we want to understand something, what we have to do? We have to go to God's word, because that is going to give us the proper understanding. So our source of spiritual God knowledge is the word of God. And revelation, our revelation should line up with the Word of God. Otherwise, we are making it up. We are coming up with our own doctrines. We are coming up with our own ideas. So as soon as we get off the Word and start creating new doctrines or new things, and there are plenty around today, this is the way the judgment fails, and we get off in doctrine of man or doctrine of demons instead of being, you know, understanding and properly judging the Word. Okay. Then goes on, but we have the mind of Christ. And so when we operate that way, okay, when we spiritually judge things, then in the things we judge, because there is disharmony, this proper interpretation, understanding, and application, then we are the mind of Christ. We are in the truth. In the mind, here when it talks about, you know, mind of Christ, the mind is the word nous, which actually means understanding and intellect. So the part, our conscious knowledge is right. That's what it's saying. Okay. Why? Because we are doing things spiritually, because we are, anacrino, we are judging, you know, the scripture and our understanding and our actions and our, you know, experiences according to the word, to the spiritual basis, the spiritual truth, the spiritual source in us. Now, you know, and the proof of this, and this is true, is that when, you know, believer working that way, they always come to the same conclusion, those things that are working that way. The other come through all different doctrines that are produce confusion and contradiction with one another. We can see the people that operate that way, they, you know, end up agreeing on all the things that they have done in operating that. So I think that should help you to better understand how meditation happens. Okay. Is allowing the scriptures and the Holy Spirit to work in you. And, you know, applying those things, connecting with each other, and judging things that you believe in, that you do, that you act, that you think, your behavior, your action, and everything else, according to the word, to line up with them. You know, your objective is to align yourself to do what Jesus, the way Jesus said, doing what you see the Father doing, doing what the Word says. Jesus was the Word made flesh. I mean, he was the manifestation of the Word in behavior and in the life of a person. So meditation involves then seeing the application and the implication of God's Word in you, comparing scripture with scriptures, spiritually judging them, okay? And this is how we learn. That's how, really, I teach all the time that way. Sometimes asking yourself questions about the meaning of different words, okay? How that aligns up with your understanding and the requirements to attain things, okay? And, you know, how you, you know, that result, you know, and you address it for changing, believing, resolving, decide the things in your life. Is that, does it, you know, your alignment with those things becomes important, okay? And so, you know, once you have come to this discernment and this, you know, addressing the judgment of things, okay, identification of the changes that maybe they have to take within you, the identification of the beliefs that you should have. Okay, I will resolve all the differences that are there. You make a decision, then comes the second part that is coming after, you know, you spend the time and you come to some solid conclusion, okay? you had to make decisions. And that is, you take a position. Okay, Jesus' declaration of his ministry is a typical example. He spoke the word as applied to his life. Okay, so you're starting to implement and acting out your life, your speech, your plan, your activity, according to the revelation that you have. And that produces your alignment with the word and the manifestation of what God says and his promises in your life. Okay? So, the meditation becomes a decision, becomes a declaration, becomes a adjusting our behavior and our adjusting our expectations and manifesting first in our attitude and then in our behavior and then in our result. Okay, and so this is how we are going to manifest the blessings. That's how, you know, for example, Psalm 1 says that we become a tree planted by the rivers of water and so on and so forth. Now, this, you know, what turns us from just a meditating person into a acting believer. From somebody believing something in somebody manifesting the results. Now, the scripture shows lots of information on this, in addition to what I said. And all this is all connected together. See, again, the thing I'm telling you and the thing I'm going to be telling you later on, and what I told you before, they're all connected together logically, although often are talked about as separate things. No, they are the same thing. They are just different representation or different aspect of the same thing. Now, see, we, you know, create spiritually the manifestation of what the Word of God says by agreeing, by receiving the Word, by allowing the Word to take over our life, and by allowing our Word to become a reality even in the physical world. So, you know, this is how you operate, because from just an abstract, theoretical place, you know, you can start seeing the implication in the physical. You start, as you see them, then you are going to bring it to pass. That happened in all the aspects in the physical world, all the time. You know, if you try to build something, you first have to see it, imagine it, and then it's going to be materialized. If you want to create a machine, that's what you have to do. If you want to apply the word of God, okay, this is what God did at creation. God creation, okay, of the world, that's what he did. He defined and imagined all the laws and principles that the world involved, all in the most minute detail of everything and everything. You know, God's imagination and understanding is infinite. And he figured out everything and he spoke it into existence, okay, by his thought and an idea. He created the laws of the universe, okay, and just released the idea of this power by speaking into existence. That is how faith works for us too. We were made in his image. Before, you know, it manifests the results, we must see it, we must resolve all the unbelief and the discrepancies between our thinking and God thinking, our lining up ourselves, and then when we reach that point, we get a place of peace, a place of understanding, a place of manifestation comes naturally afterwards. All right, that's a good point to take just a little break. And, you know, we are going to move into more now in the manifestation component, in what is generally called faith. We're going to see some of the law of faith. And, you know, they are described in many different ways in the Bible, but they are always included to what I said already on this, what the Bible says for different type of applications or different type of results that we get. It's always the same principles, the same values. I wonder if I should stop right now, because I think that meditating on this scripture, the scripture that I told you right up to now, is critical, okay, to understand some of the things that I'm going to be talking on. Really, what I'm talking about is how meditation produce result, and how the law of faith is based, really, meditation is a component of the law of faith. Faith coming by hearing the word of God. That means, you know, you start by reading the word, studying the word, you know, which is the incorruptible seed planted inside you. A seed produces according to, you know, its nature. So, you know, the things that are put inside you, these are incorruptible, you know, and so they are eternal, they are powerful, they are always working, okay, but they don't work on everybody. People can be exposed to the word and get absolutely nothing. So the seed in itself is not enough. The seed needs a soil to plant it in. And you are the soil in which, you know, actually your heart is the place in which you should take root. Okay. So meditation, what makes you is to allow that seed to take root in your heart. And as the roots grow and spread and touch different areas, reconnecting all the other roots that are there in the world, you know, they are starting to produce that consistency or that, you know, harmony between all the different thoughts that you have to bring about results. See, as the roots grow, a tree is coming out, producing branches, leaves, and fruit. Fruits are actually the final result, if you want. But this is a parallel that you can use to understand this principle. Now, there are many places in the scripture in which applies this exactly the same process to different situations, to manifest, you know, the operation. The thing is, when it talks about manifestation, it talks possibly about just the final result without explaining the process that I've been finishing just right now that is essential. See, the seed that is not rooted inside you is not going to produce anything. And people do not understand often that there is this rooting and developing and growing process that has to be taking place first to be able to see the fruit manifested, which is the end of the result, you know, is like planting a tree. I mean, you know, the trees start growing and start producing little leaves, then become bigger leaves, then becomes branches and trunk and everything else. But until there is enough roots to produce enough light in the tree, you're not going to get any fruit. It takes time to get there. And people think that, they, you know, just because they have a seed, they're going to see the fruit. And that often the only thing it can do is produce disappointment, because their expectation is based on the poor understanding of how the process of producing the fruit is. Okay, I feel that you may have some scriptures, some things, some teaching in the Bible that explain what I've been talking about that I haven't talked about myself yet. And maybe, you know, if you do some thinking about that, instead of, you know, me giving it to you now, it may help you to start actually learning how to apply this principle I've been talking to you tonight to get results in general and to get understanding how your faith works. So I think I should stop right now and open up for questions.
I have a question. Everything you've explained about the growth of that tree in the spiritual sense, this is comparable to saying that we have been created in the image of God.
Yeah.
But that's the final result, though.
No.
No? Okay.
It's the present result. We operate exactly the same way as he does. Only, okay. You know, he doesn't have any wrong thoughts to correct.
Right, okay, so that means that no matter what level we're at, we operate like God, but he accepts us at our own level.
We function the same way, but we don't get the same results because we are not there. The thing is, the closer we are, the more we are like Jesus, and the more we are going to get results because there are no wrong thinking in us. You see, his judgment was right judgment. That means he was the Word made flesh. He was the Word functioning. His thinking and his reasoning was exactly along as the Word. And so there was no any hindrance for the manifestation of things.
Okay. Just referring back to, is it 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians about the judgment thing? Let me just go back there for a minute. 1 Corinthians 2. Okay, where we judge things, we judge the scriptures. We have to have gained enough knowledge to
absolutely
judge.
I mean, just one scripture doesn't help you. You have to have lots of scriptures, and the scripture then are going to be coming together and establishing a network of information supporting the idea. So that's why, you know, maybe Christians, you know, sometimes God is nice and gracious and help them to get result, even if because they don't know anything anyway. So, you know, they get something and you get motivated. But the more we know, the more we are going to operate on the scripture, and we get more and more the mind of Christ, because it functions in the same way as Jesus functioned.
Okay, you see, I have to use the lectures for now as a guide and compare it, because you're comparing one scripture to another. Yeah. I mean, I can't do this independently on my own. I'm not there yet because...
Well, you will do as the more you do it.
Yeah.
And the more you will.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I just have to put enough time into this.
I mean, it's not for me, it's not the same today as it was 2 years ago.
Right, okay.
Or 10 years ago.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions? Do you see the scripture I've been talking about after I explain it to you better than you did before? Does it make sense more? You got more meaning out of it than you had before. Okay. Do you know how to apply it better? Because that's the key. You see, it's not just understanding it, it's how you are going to apply it and how you're going to experience the impact that it has on you when you start doing that in different areas. This is why it's so important that the world dwells in you and you dwell in the world. You should be able to see that.
Pastor?
Yeah.
It seems to me the importance of really delving into the Greek and the Hebrew interpretation is more and more I'm starting to find out that sometimes we don't really have like different interpretation. I was watching one guy at supper time who was practically within every 10 words he was using the Greek, and the interpretations were considerably different.
Who was Rick Renner?
Yeah.
Okay. And yeah, I like him.
I was He's marveling. Good. Yeah, I was marveling at it, and I just, you know, came to the conclusion that, you know, I'm going to have to do more of that. I haven't been doing that.
Well, much. Yeah, I think he overdo it, does it? Okay, let me explain why. Right. He uses that to give color to the story, but it's not essential, all the things that he says, for understanding it. He makes it more colorful, more, and this is really good and it's enjoyable. The point is, you know, actually, what I found out myself, and I've been using the Greek and the Hebrew all the time, okay, and I use that very much, but very often, before I go and check it out in the Greek and the Hebrew, the word actually the Lord tells me the meaning, and I go and I confirm it is right there.
Yeah.
Okay. So there is not, we don't become completely dependent on a dictionary, because the dictionary often, you know, has different possibilities.
Yeah.
And so it's difficult to choose which one was which. But if you already get the revelation of what it should be like and what is the intention there, then you find it right away in there, in the dictionary.
Yeah.
That's my experience.
Okay. Yeah, and that's, as you say, it's working out the process, and in relation to, I suppose, our own talents as well.
Oh, yeah. And also there is another factor, okay? Not everybody has find necessarily easy to do that.
Yeah.
According to the gifts that they have.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, depending on the type of gifts that are given to you, you may be able to do more in one direction or another. Okay, if when we are talking about revelation, Okay, a big factor there is, you know, not everybody has the same degree of revelation. Evidently, somebody that is a prophet has much more revelation than people that are not prophets. Well, they should be, because that's your gift, their gift.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what you can expect. But in terms of the application, then the gifts are going to be manifested in a different way. Yeah. Okay? Like, you know, for example, somebody that is, instead of being a prophet, is a pastor, okay, and that's a major gift that they have. The way it's being manifested is how you apply to do the function of a pastor.
Yeah.
And so they're going to get revelation in the areas of how to use it to minister to somebody that needs to be touched, you know, to look after them. You understand what I'm saying? And it's not necessarily as broad as an interpretation, but it's more limited to that particular areas in which they have a gifting.
even in the more basic function of teaching yourself or learning process yourself.
Absolutely.
On a simple example, the reading process for me and probably for other people is a more resistant and more snail's pace process, whereas I'll find myself more speaking forth in an audio that I'm speaking forth and speaking forth to Marilyn and I'm speaking forth to somebody else. Mm-hmm. That's a more effective for me, a more effective meditation process of getting it in me than say reading. So
it's a combination of things.
Yeah. Okay. But there are certain inclinations that I'll find myself.
Yes. I mean, expressing something to somebody else. Yeah. The best way to learn is to teach.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, others, it may be entirely different, but it's the whole objective is going through the most effective process to get the results and to bear the fruit that you're talking about.
Yeah. The thing is, though, that, you know, we are not in isolation. We are in the body. Is that because we are in the body, there are different ministries going on, the fivefold ministries in operation around us. So if we are not the prophetic type that gets revelation, but we maybe are more, you know, the one reaching out and evangelistically oriented, well, then what we are going to do is, you know, we are going to receive stuff, we are going to understand stuff, how to do it, and be able to manifest and operate in the function better.
Yes. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes to get it done.
Yeah.
This is why
we are not in isolation. You know, we are a body.
Yeah.
Okay.
But but the desire is to manifest the glory. Yeah. To experience the glory, the honor.
To have God operating in us, you know, be in communion with God, to get God functioning through us. And ministering that.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, and that is the glory that is, you know, imparted to us.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. Good. Okay. Any other thing, any other point? You found this useful? I mean, you did that helps a bit.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, been very good.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know, I suggested that you actually spend more time on what I said. I should probably put it on the web, and you know, so that you can go through it again. Some people may benefit from that.
Maurizio, yes. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10, it's, you know, it says in verse 9 that the eye has not seen entered that, yeah, what God has prepared, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit.
Yeah.
It's as if it's already been done.
In our spirit, but not in our consciousness.
Okay.
You don't know too much about your spirit.
That's right.
Okay, so in our spirit, yeah, if we are in communion with God, that is there. Now, our heart is the blockage.
Okay.
Okay, so that's why we have to get it. She's talking about in our heart, not our spirit. Our heart is where we pass the judgments. That's why we always talk about judgment. These are the judgments, the diacrino or anacrino, that, you know, depending on the situation, you know, those are the things that need to be addressed. Those are the things that give us the perception or the discernment about things.
And could it also be like a revelation is revealing something that was already there, but it's unveiling. It was there, but you didn't see it. Yeah. So the things that our spirit knows, our soul doesn't know until they're revealed by the Holy Spirit or something.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. It is there, but it's not becoming useful.
Well, because we are in communion, if you are in communion with God, you know, his knowledge, his understanding is also with us, but it is not on the conscious level. So it's not really understanding. It's not real knowledge.
Not accessible. Because,
that's right. See, awareness is what makes the difference. When we have awareness, then we can, you know, be regularly producing the things, the result, the fruit.
Maurizio, did you ever read the book The Spiritual Man by Watchman Nee?
Yeah, long time ago.
A pastor good, told
it's far too long.
It's long. I know it's long. I have it. I never read it. But he said, a pastor told me that through that book, he teaches you how to let your spirit be in charge instead of your soul or your flesh. Is that right? Yeah. How can you
in give a way? In a way, yes. But I find him far too worldly. Not worldly, but too many words.
Wordy, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So what happens is that, you know, it's very difficult to, I mean, I read the old book, I studied it and everything some time ago, you know, quite a while ago, and I really liked it. But at the same time, you know, some things, I don't know if are that useful because they're, you know, it's too long on this. You know, I think you get better by reading the Bible.
How, like, can you give like a simple methodology for us, how we can really let our spirit be in charge instead of our flesh?
That's what I share tonight. That's what I share tonight.
Oy, oy. Okay.
That's it's all in that, in those scriptures that I share tonight, is explained how we have the mind of Christ, how to develop the mind of Christ, how to grow in the mind of Christ, because that is where.
And
you know, the thing is, as a, you know, as we are going to see next week, then it's applied in different things. And so as we are talking about this different application, and mostly on Jesus' teaching, okay, another one too. We are going to see it's always the same process going on.
Okay. And this Thursday night teaching, it goes, you go to the church website, members, resources, and it will be there?
I will try to put it up. Yeah, I'm going to look at it and see if how I can put it together. I have to put just the sound, you know, the vocal.
Okay. Okay, so the Sunday morning and Thursday is all available through the same portal.
Not all the time, but for this one here, I'm thinking that I better do it because this is going to be very practical.
Okay, thank you. Thanks a lot. God bless you, Maurizio. Thanks.
I'm going to close in prayer. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you, Lord, that your word guides us into all truth. With the help of the Holy Spirit, who is our helper, our standby, and our comforter, the one that enables us to go from victory to victory, from faith to faith. Help us, Lord, to be open so that we may, Lord, receive and be willing to accept and learn what God wants us to learn, so that we may experience the production of the fruit of the Spirit in our life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen.